Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the B-Team Podcast. As always, they are live on the Jackrabbit Illustrated Facebook and Twitter. We are also live on the FCS Fans Nation YouTube for the fans, by the fans. Beyond that, you can catch the show, if you don't catch it live, anywhere you get your favorite podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere in between. As always, the B-Team is brought to you by our title sponsor, Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. If you need a tractor, utility vehicle, construction equipment, zero-turn motors, parts, service, and more, there's always a Kubota dealer near you with 8 locations across the great state of South Dakota. Stop in today and get yourself into some orange equipment. We would also like to take a moment to thank our segment sponsors, Culver's, Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill. And now, B-Team Mafia, the time's arrived. Here's Ben, Chad, and Brendan.
What is up, B-Team Mafia? Welcome back to our special edition with a guest. Makes it special, Stone, having you here, buddy. Obviously, we got me, Ben, and Chad, but man of the hour, since we are taking on the Southern Illinois Sauk Lukies, and the Sauk Lukie fears no man. That's my favorite saying in the world.
It is. He says it all the time.
Every time we bring you guys up, that Sauk Lukie thing killed me. We got Stone Lubanowitz from FCS Nation Radio and various other ESPN outlets like ESPN Florida and everything else too, right? I see that on your bio all the time.
Thanks for joining
West
us.
Palm,
West
down
Palm,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah, ESPN Plus on the weekends. And for whoever said that we're late because of me in the chat, wrong. Not me. No. Whoever clicked start, that was had nothing to do with me. But yeah, I do a lot down here. Just trying to integrate myself and kind of get caught in the system, all the depth charts everywhere around the country. Staying busy, man. Love this sport. Love what the FCS does. And I want to get involved any way possible. Being on here with you guys, nothing short of a blessing. I literally love it. Love the work you guys do. Love the work everybody up there does. You guys are the standard, I think, as it sits right now. And glad to be a part of it.
Ooh, that's, I appreciate that.
Thank
that.
You. That, wow. That's that. My, that's should just I not, strong praise.
Should I not throw any more compliments around? Is that no, be my last no. one?
As long as you mean it doesn't fit matter. Anymore, if you give me a much bigger head, I had to cut the inside out of this one to make it fit. Yeah, I heard you on the ESPN broadcast for the who'd you play before Youngstown? God bless it, Murray.
Missouri
it
the
Murray
State.
Game because that was State. The first time I saw them run a horse around a track, which is the funniest goddamn thing on the planet. Yeah, I think Murray they should State. Have races with two horses.
I can say this because I don't think anybody from Murray State is listening. They have no fans in general. That atmosphere, piss poor. Piss poor to say the least. Like, there's nothing going there. I played there when I was a freshman, and the stadium's dope, but nobody's there. I think it's in Tennessee. I don't even remember correctly. Shit state to be in. Not much going on. Missouri State has no. It was homecoming too. I tuned in the game for 2 seconds and tuned right out. I felt bad, and it was a boring game. And typically, good teams play down to levels, and I think that's what you saw. They only scored like 20 something, and let Murray score once. But boring game. I didn't really tune in that much.
I don't think we have any Murray State fans listening after the 15-minute joke fest we had about the horse racing around the track. We went after that a little bit. We didn't hear anything about it. So I assume they don't listen to us. We do get some Montana State fans. We get Ron Lowney coming in. He made a NDSU comment. I'm definitely not wearing an SDSU hockey jersey because of any events from last weekend that would rub salt on wounds up north of us.
I did not see his comment. I don't see it in there. So sorry, Ron. Didn't
yeah.
See
unless Ron went on Twitter all of a sudden.
Yeah. I don't know. I gave you credit, Ron. You got the score of the game exactly right. You predicted us by 35 and we did win by 35. We won 41-6. Big win on Hobo Day against you and I. Like I talked about in Rants and Raves, got the monkey off our back, which was real nice. You know, we talked about it all week, how worried we were about you and I and being Hobo Day and all that. And it didn't matter. I mean, and I think that's one thing with the Jimmy coached team, I think, is we're going to see is that I don't know if there's a lack of focus with Stig teams, but I mean, it's a thing. Like it happened often where we would just have these letdown games. And I think Jimmy makes sure these guys are up and ready to go for every single game. It does not matter who the opponent is. And so it's fun to watch.
Yeah, there's something to be said for a very intense individual running the show and helping to keep focus. You know, I mean, Steg is the best. He's a legend. We will love him forever, and he will always be remembered as the best. But having someone with Jimmy's personality, I mean, you can't help but not be a little more focused when you've got him on you a little bit, I think. And yeah, I think you're right. That might be a hallmark of this team. I know talking in the post game with Borg, I said that this class of players is going to be known as the Dragon Slayers or the Demon Slayers, because they've slain every demon that every SDSU team or fan has ever had. This was the last one. The only one I can think of that might be left is if we had to go on the road and play in Montana just for vengeance there. We can't get the one at JMU anymore. So, and if this team ends up on the road in Montana, something went real sideways this season anyway. So, that was just beautiful from start to finish. That was an absolute beatdown. I don't know if you paid too much close attention, Stone. There was more exciting things going on throughout the subdivision. So I understand that, especially with all, I mean, there were so many big upsets. The small upsets got swept away.
Yeah. I definitely paid attention. I thought coming in, it was a chance that, I don't want to call it Theoday's coming out party, but it's the game you get up for, right? Like, you're playing South Dakota State as a quarterback. Like, a lot of the times, especially in the FCS, when you feel like it's not as highly touted of a game, or you don't know how many eyes are watching, you got like one in the chamber, like one to make your presence be felt. And that's the game to do it in Brookings. He definitely didn't do that. I was on the show with Kev saying this might be Theo's day. Definitely wasn't the case. But to what you said earlier about Jimmy Rogers' intensity, I think that's, I'll call it one of the coolest things about you guys this year. Going from a guy like Stig, and then he leaves, and then you have the general fan base, the ones who aren't quite tapped in, like, oh man, like, what are we going to do? But you have a head coach come in who's just jacked up on Mountain Dew 24/7. And for the kids who were brought in by Stig, and I know Jimmy was recruiting as well, but there's just a different demeanor with Stig. It's more quiet. Like, I've heard that the kids weren't able to curse, and it was just awkward at times in certain situations. And then you go from a guy who's MFing you at practice 5 days a week. Like, it gets you right back into that warrior mindset. And it's scary. I think for the rest of the subdivision, Stig left and you're like, yes. And then 2 minutes later, Jimmy's in and you're like, damn it. Like, damn it. This is only going to get worse. These kids are going to be way more prepared than they were in the past, and there's really no letdown spots for them. And obviously they've shown that 6-0 and just absolutely just rat racing every person that lines up across from them at every position, all 22. It's ridiculous. And I think Jimmy has a lot to do with that.
So you're saying that as a quarterback, you get up for a big fish then, you know, like SDSU.
Oh God.
Early. What time is it?
I could not help myself.
I mean, you couldn't have waited a little longer than 11 minutes, 11 minutes in the big fish. I tell this story all the time. It is on air down here in ESPN West Palm. Anytime we get a player trash talking, like national news wise, we got to bring it on. And I'm like, listen, that shit got me benched like immediately. Like, I didn't even last a half in the football game. I'm sitting in halftime and coach comes up to me. He's like, hey, we're going to go with blah, blah, blah. In the second half, I'm like, all right. Well, and then selfishly, I'm sitting on the sideline. This is just saying the quiet part out loud. You're almost wanting the kid to get rocked, and you're almost wanting this to turn into a crap fest. It got worse in the second half. So there's me trying to be a good teammate, sitting here calling signals in, doing this, watching just the score go up and up and up. And I'm like, I'm glad I'm out there. I'm glad I'm not out there. I wish I was kind of out there, but every single time I got touched, it was a fishing rod right in my face. And that stuff, like, it is cool. It's why you do it. It's literally why you play the sport. Love the story, though, but 11 minutes in, that's just foul.
The whole time,
I mean, it was the last time we were down playing you.
And this one, I've never been that guy because I know how much those memories can hurt. So I blame
not at all.
It's all Chad's fault.
I'll take it all.
I was literally, I wanted a backdrop of the 42-41 SIU dub over you guys in OT, the backbreaker. But when I first searched it up, SDSU versus SIU, 45-3 came up, and I'm like, oh shit, okay, hold on. And I had to go to the other tab and get it out of the way. They're not bad memories, man. It's football. You literally show up one day, get your ass kicked. The other day, you go beat the number one team in the country. It all happens. It's all relative.
Right. Yeah, Brendan and I were talking beforehand. You guys turned it around on us, and we were, you know, chewing our fingernails, hoping that we didn't let it slip away the next time we met you up in Brookings. So,
oh, it makes sense. It makes sense. Whatever you can find as a player, as a fan, to give you that extra motivation, use it. I mean, you see it all the time. Players trying to chirp each other in locker rooms and teams using that. Like, it almost is delusion. Like, delusion, I think, is a teenager or a young 20-year-old's like biggest weapon. Like, if you can lie to yourself and pretend as if you're the best player, someone said something about you, whatever's going to get you up. Besides like drinking energy drinks or popping whatever you need to pop, like whatever's going to get you up, whatever's going to get you out of your seat and awake for the day, you do it.
I hear you. And you mentioned eyeballs on the game, and this was something big, I think, that mattered for this game and has mattered for most of the games. You know, it used to be the big thing at SDSU, big games, we'd fall apart. For Hobo Day, we had another sellout, second highest attendance in the Dana's history, 19,352. And I was curious, you know, how we performed with our own big home crowds, because that used to be a thing. If you go back and you look, if we get over 17,000 fans, the team performs lights out. You know, the number one most attended game was College Game Day game. I don't think you can say SDSU did not perform well in that game. They played great. You almost beat NDSU with a backup quarterback because Jabari Gibbs goes down right away. But then you go through the rest of them, 41-6, 28-3. The Montana State game was, they didn't play poorly, and you beat the number two team in the country. South Dakota State, Indiana State, 49-7, 33-21 against NDSU, 27-19 is to NDSU, 24-10 versus Youngstown State. All that to say is how much it's made a difference having the big crowds this year.
100%. I mean, we talk about it all the time, like how much of a difference it makes, and the results speak for themselves. I mean, it, like you said, every time we have a big crowd, this team shows out, and it's awesome to see. And we'll have another sellout coming up for NDSU, and hopefully we get some fans buying tickets for that Missouri State game too. So, keep it coming. Couple more things on the UNI game before we move on. The D line, I think, was the star of the game. I think they played their best game they have all year. We've kind of been waiting to see, you know, with Sanders and Winkleman leaving, you know, are we going to have that D line presence like we had before? And they showed it this game. They showed out. They pressured Day. They contained him. All the tackles for loss, the sacks they racked up. I mean, it was very impressive game by the D-line. And again, they had guys shuffling in and out like we've been used to. So I'm excited to see them get rolling, because it's just going to make this team even more dominant than we have been already, honestly.
Sorry, I just got caught off guard by Damon Becker, that he says, can we at least admit that the UNI Hobo Day stigma was media oriented and slated in emotion and not reality? I don't think they thought about it at all. They just had to answer for it because they got asked. This team is focused. No, that was not media oriented. That was a thing. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever listened to Matt Zimmer before talk about like the Twins and their playoff streak and stuff like that and their losses. Like, just because the players weren't there doesn't mean it's not a thing. And just because it's a thing doesn't mean the players are worried about it and that's a focus thing. I absolutely agree. This team's focused, locked in 110%. It was just it can be both. It doesn't have to be media oriented and the team's worried about it. It can be both things at the same time. You know what was really fun about this game for me? You could tell you and I wanted to stop the run. You know, we didn't get our average on yards per carry. And the fun part about this team is you've got some dude back there named Mark Mother Effin Gronowski. And I know, Stone, you love quarterbacks. Yes. And you love games with quarterbacks who ball out and picking the quarterback who balls out to do the upset. And Mark had himself a day, baby.
Mark, I mean, I obviously start and stop with quarterbacks, but There's something to be said for Mark, and I do love people coming, whether it's on social media or interviews or whatever it is, talking about why are we not having the conversation about Mark being one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I think you can make the argument. I think systematically it doesn't help him though, because it's just so dominant. The other 10 guys, like it's harsh for me to say you don't need Mark to win a football game, but Mark just takes you over the top and he makes you a team that I don't want to say he's unbeatable, but can do everything so well. I love watching Mark play football. He makes zero mistakes, like none whatsoever. He understands exactly what Luan and the rest of the squad is trying to do. And we'll get to this when we're talking the matchup, but you can tell a quarterback's intellect and with Nick Saban's guys and the RPO stuff that he does year after year after year, there's not a quarterback in the FCS right now that is more confident in an RPO system than Mark Gronkowski is. And when you have a quarterback in a run-pass option offense who is confident throwing the ball, is confident running the ball, and can make the correct reads and the correct checks, as an offensive coordinator, and I think a defense sitting on the sideline, like you just know that there's always an out. Mark will find an out. Third and short, third and long, there's always something for Mark to do. And there's something to be said about a quarterback who doesn't really need to be told what to do. It never seems like when he goes to the sideline, there's this extra long conversation. It's easy stuff. And that can go back to practice. But with what Mark does in an RPO offense, it's cool to watch. Like, he doesn't make any mistakes. They're all the right reads. I love me some Mark all day, every day. This will be a tough one to be able to pick, you know, which quarterback I'm rocking with Saturday. But I love watching Mark play football.
Poor Kevin gets too excited. We aren't saying that you guys aren't giving him enough credit. we have had, like you said, though, you know, the team's so good. It's he's not going to have to be Michael Ayers or anything like that. He's going to carry the team. So he's not going to have the numbers. He's not going to get the talk.
That's it's unfair because there's a lot of people out there who don't really, I'll just say it frankly, like don't understand football. And when you're checking box scores and stuff, it's, and I mean, we see it with not your guys' and not mine and Kevin's polls, but there are a lot of people who don't even pay attention and a lot of people don't watch these games. And like I said, don't understand the sport. So when you check a box score and you see a quarterback stats, like, we're going to give Clifton McDowell from Montana like the offensive player of the week next week. He didn't do anything on the box score, but he just went and beat an Idaho team. And if he wasn't in the lineup, they wouldn't have beat an Idaho team. Like, there's quarterbacks and what they do not on the in the box score is like the most important thing. And Mark, I think, is the poster child for that. Like, it's never going to be flashy. It's never going to be like, man, this kid's good. I'm sure NFL scouts aren't drooling over him right now. But that winner, you know, the fact that he wins and wins and wins, that's on the list of a laundry list of an NFL scouts, you know, what they're looking for. Like, this kid wins. That's all he does. There aren't many other quarterbacks around the FCS who win at his percentage. So, I mean, that takes precedence over anything that's in the box score, is that he knows how to catch a dub and he does it every single week and he's used to the feeling and he knows what it's like when his team's down, when they're not down, all this kind of stuff. There's so much that Mark does that doesn't show up on the stat sheet that enables this team to just win game after game after game.
For sure. I mean, you mentioned the third downs, his decision-making and he's just got that clutch gene where, I mean, we were 7-for-11 at third downs in this game. And you look at our red zone efficiency is just off the charts. And a lot of it is him. It's making good decisions in clutch moments. And it can get overlooked easily. Cause like you said, that the box score just doesn't tell the tale, but
yeah, a jackass isn't going to point out a third down percentage. Like, he's not going. No, he's going to be like, "Oh, he had 220," but he's not going to be like, "He was 72% on third downs." And where I envy Mark, in a sense, because I'm still fresh out of the game, where I envy Mark is he's been put in so many situations and played in so many big games that those third downs are like a scrub's first downs. Like, they were like, they're a kid from, I don't want to, you know, I'll put a team on blast. I don't really care. Like, what? Like, I won't name another team. I just had like four run through my head. Some like Northwestern State, like that quarterback on third down is his piss running down his leg. And Mark on third down feels like it's just another play. Like, it's another play call that I envy. There are not many quarterbacks in the country who have, you know, the ability to even be put in situations like that. So Mark, it's just another day in the office, whether it's third down, whether it's fourth down, whatever. It's just the same old stuff for Mark.
Yeah. And like Steve says here, Jesse mentioned earlier too, it's nice to have the line that he's got. Like, he's got confidence that, like, when he steps back to throw a pass, he's pretty sure he's not getting pressured. I mean, when he does, he makes the right decision. But, man, like, having that line, that's got to be nice.
It's more than nice. Like, you can't even put it into word. Again, you got to envy a guy who's been put behind an offensive line like that and is in a system where it just funnels. And it's just every single year, you know, you're going to be protected. here's the thing with quarterbacks. Like, we go numb when we drop back. Like, as much as you think we know what's going on back there, you don't. You don't have a clue. Mark's eyes are over there. So you're never paying attention to what's right in front of you until it hits you right in the face. And for Mark, he's never had to think about being hit in the face. Like, you don't have that thought in the back of your head that a lot of kids on sorry teams do. Like, I don't, you know what's going to happen. Mark is able to put his eyes in the second level a lot more comfortably than anybody else in the FCS. So the offensive line, quarterbacks go numb. We don't really know what's going on out there. We can set a protection, and we can, if we get it right, we get it right. And you're kind of like, oh, okay, that worked out. But Mark doesn't even have that thought. It's just everyone gets blocked up. It's okay, next.
What Kevin would you do to have one game with that offensive line?
I was going to say, Kevin thinks that even you could have success behind that O-line.
He says, even you. What? Yeah, even he came you, on our show.
You. And I'm you reading said, what Kevin said. You. Kevin said this. Said, I didn't say that.
That O-line and he could still play. He didn't say even you could still play.
Kevin would get folded like a lawn chair if he was out there, whether he was still in shape or whether he looked the way he does now. So I don't want to hear anything from Kev. What I would do to play behind that offensive line, I don't know if I'd be too excited. I don't know if I'd be able to see over like the 6'3", just straight across like everybody. I mean, I don't know. And then once you guys eat in South Dakota, and when I was in South Dakota, every single person that I looked at, that their fingers were an extra 2 inches of girth. The neck was had an extra 3 inches. The ears were all thick. I'm like, what are they putting in the food in this place? And then you just recruit and you do it and you do it. And they all look the same. I'm like, these people are too big. It makes me uncomfortable. You guys included. On the call, you guys.
We've heard that a lot from Dustin Helton. The way he described us, the Rev, is he said we were built like stackable washers and dryers, which
I love that.
Was the most confusing compliment, non-compliment I've ever gotten in my life.
I love that. Actually, I'm gonna start using it.
It's great.
It is great.
All right, but should we move on from the Hobo Day game? You got anything else?
You know, had a lot of fun having Joe and Sean up here from Hack City. Those guys were a blast. Those poor bastards got this is what Stone would have had. You'd had a blast if you weren't out at Lake Ponset. Ponset, you hear that? That's enunciation, Mr. Marshall.
And it's how it's pronounced in South Dakota,
as God intended, where we pronounce our capital pier. Those guys came out and it was Hobo Day, so a bunch of my college buddies were up, and let's just say it became the let's see what awful shot game we can get them to drink. Uh-huh. After at Irony, me and Chad met with them for lunch and put probably a 40-ounce beer down their throats, and then I put a Chuck Doris down them from the Rev, and then all sorts of stuff, and then they were getting cement mixers and it went down.
They had a red beer in your honor.
Had a red beer. Yes, I made sure they got a red beer for you, Ben. I brought it up. And, that was a lot of fun. It was a good time. Sean, they didn't mention it on their podcast, and the amount of crap he gives Joe for puking last time they were out here. I had to make sure this was known. Sean was dragging that next morning. You know, if you walk up to a guy, you're like, hey, how was your night? And they're like, ugh. And you're like, did you close down the bars? And they look you in the eyes and just have this panicked look on their face, and they go, I don't know. That was, you had a time. You did Hobo Day properly at that age. Good for you.
He did take a fireball shot immediately when he got there, though, which is impressive. He did, considering the night he had.
He had a tough one with it, but he kept her down. I might have made sure he had a fireball shot as soon as he got there.
Yeah.
They didn't show up late. They didn't show up at like 9. They got there. Like 11.
That's true. They missed the whole parade, which is like a big part of Hobo Day, but whatever.
It's fine.
Maybe next time. Anyway, we'll move on from the big SDSU win over UNI. Let's go ahead and talk about a few of the games, the Missouri Valley games. But first, we got to talk about Montana and Idaho. Wow. I don't think any of us saw this come. I mean, if you watch our pick show, we didn't give Montana a chance. I did mention that Idaho hadn't won games by a lot. And so I'll give myself some credit for that. That, like, I was like, maybe this will stay
go
closer.
Go ahead and try to claim that. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But Yeah, so Montana ended up winning that game 23-21. Stone, what's your – I want to hear your take on Eck going full Eck on the two-point conversion. like, you got to just run a normal play, right?
You do got to run a normal play, but I think he's never been proven otherwise. Like, it's not like – it's not like what had happened Saturday has happened to him in the past. I'm sure you can go pull some receipts on it happening before, but he's had success. And I think another thing that, you know, us who aren't watching practices and stuff, and we're not in this facility, like, we don't understand how well plays like that have worked and how confident they are running those plays. Like, when you're in practice on a Tuesday walking through and the 11 guys love it, they're all on the same page with Eck calling the plays and the rest of the offensive staff, and you execute it day after day after day, it's right there on your play sheet at the bottom right on the two-point plays. There's probably 4 to 6 for any coach, whether in college or the NFL. Like, there's 6 hotties you got, and it's getting called. I think for Eck, it's a spot where if I don't call this, I'll regret it. And for that, you got to do it. It's like – and X for the boys, too. He knows that that place would have absolutely exploded if he pulled that off. I'm with Eck all the way. Like, you got to lay it on the table sometimes and run what – you design. Coaches are insane. College coaches are just absolutely mentally ill. He probably watched 7 other teams run that, put together a reel for the guys, put it in front of Giovanni and the rest of the offense, and for 48 hours, 72 hours, just went over that play in his head. These coaches are sick. He wanted to execute it. I can't blame the man. I liked it. And I always like two-point plays. I'm a Brandon Staley guy who's playing right now. This guy gets clowned. All these coaches, do it. The analytics, there's some nerd wearing a headset, and you look over, or you just mic to him, and Brad, what are we looking here? Well, the book says blah, blah, blah. Do it. Lay it on the table. Do it. I don't care.
Yeah, we're used to it here because, you know, he was here for so many years as our OC. So SDSU fans, I don't know, at least myself watching that game, I was like, yep, that's Eck. And you know what? Honestly, his trick plays hit at such a high percentage, I don't mind him doing it. You're going to go down with the ship with him occasionally, and that just is what it is. It drives you nuts, but you love it when it works. Then I remember way more trick plays with him that worked than ones that didn't. So that tells you all you need to know. He does them
well. Love that.
But I really thought watching that game, Giovanni McCoy had a really tough outing, and I don't think it was as much. I mean, yeah, he had a bad game. His stats look good. He's got a bunch of yards, bunch of touchdowns, but when you have 3 turnovers in a game like that, that you lose by 2 points, oof, that's killer. And it just looked to me like he was doing too much. He was just trying to force stuff and trying to be the team a little bit too much. Like, dude, you are that good. You don't have to try that hard to be good. And I think it caught him a little bit. And for Grizz fans, shut your whiny goddamn faces. Jesus Christ. Not that there's any on here. They're not upstanding men like Ron Lowney who can actually show up and listen to somebody else's opinion. They are so soft. Those little crybabies are 10-ply. Jeez, my daughter's tougher and taking shit than you little crybaby bastards. Good God. No, I mean, eat crow about the Idaho game. Good for you. You won. I thought you were going to get killed. I was hoping you'd get killed. But also, don't come at me or any of the other voters who dropped you. Because guess what? We dropped you because you deserved it. Guess what? Those voters who did that put you back where you belong because you've earned it now. So go cry in somebody else's valley and flood that goddamn place out and leave everybody else the hell alone because you're annoying the piss out of me.
Montana fans are annoying, but at least there's a lot of them.
They're passionate. God bless them.
And I don't want to sit here and say they carry like FCS Twitter, but I think they do. There's just a higher volume of Montana fans. So I don't like, you know, seeing what they have to say because a lot of them, I mean, they're reckless and they're clinging on to, you know, stuff that happened not now, but then. But there's so many of them. So I'm like, at least you guys are here. At least you're talking your ish. Like, just keep it coming, whatever it is. They're active.
They do have that going for them.
Yeah,
very active online. They're very active online. I know there's probably 2 good Montana fans very offended right now.
Well, I think it's like Evan, kind of a closet Montana fan.
Who?
Kevin. He's a little bit because he lives up there, right?
He likes to act like he's not, but he is. He is.
I think he is.
100%. He's on Montana's campus every single week, and that's he parks in the student parking, and he likes to watch the girls walk by. When he pulls up, he sits in his car for an extra 20 minutes. He's a closet Montana fan.
He blends in because of his height, I'm sure.
Yeah. And the build, the beard, and everything. Yeah. He's like, I'm just a fifth year senior.
He'd be that high school teacher who you thought was a student and catches you punching somebody, and then you're like, oh, God damn it.
It's accurate.
I love it.
He's gonna cut block me. He's gonna try to cut block me again down in Frisco when I see
him. He is. Especially, he already warned you about that.
Especially after the Weenie Hut Junior hat text I sent in response to the Silver Shako. He didn't like that.
So yeah, Idaho loses to Montana. You know, they were considered kind of the part of the top three in the FCS, like for sure top three. Now I think they sort of fall out of that ranking, and I think it just is down to a top two, and there's a pretty big gap between those two and the rest. The FCS Fans Nation guys talked about this on their podcast. Go check that out. I'm sure you guys will talk about it, Stone, on yours. You know, how big is that gap from that top two to the rest, do you think?
Dude, it's massive. It's massive. The fact that there are SoCon teams in the mix, like, I know there's not one of us out there who's realistically willing to take that serious, but I think we have to by default right now. Western Carolina is going to drop 50 on whoever they see first round in the playoffs, but can they prevent our team from scoring 51? And that's going to be the question. I don't really think the gap is even remotely close. What's really going to shorten the gap is the teams who have been there, like a Sac State. I know it sounds funny saying incarnate word. I don't want to give them, you know, that much love. I don't think they've earned it from anybody this year, but the team's been there, like, and they're fresh off of it. There's still kids on that roster who were in that same position last year, almost in a national championship game. So that gap's going to get real, real condensed once teams who were in the playoffs last year get back, who we don't have a lot of faith in. Those will be the scary ones. The gap's so big, though. When you watched the South Dakota State, Montana State game, and watching head coach for Southern Illinois, Nick Hill's presser Monday, it was earlier today, actually, he was asked about that game, which I thought was a good question. Like, I appreciate somebody digging and kind of pulling that game first. And Hill even said it. He's like, it's a different level of football. Like, to watch the two guys in the two front seven and what they were able to do just from an offensive line and defensive line standpoint, it's kind of playing at a different level right now. There's nobody moaning and groaning and with that much beef up front. And, yeah, I don't know who matches that in this top 10 right now. I really don't.
Yeah. So outside of that game, we've got the Valley games that we'll recap quickly here. We've got Missouri State went to Western Illinois and whooped them. Brendan, for some reason, you trusted Western Illinois. I did not, thankfully, because
Brendan took what, the Leatherneck spread?
Yeah.
You know how big the spread was?
It's 21. Or it was not only 19 and a half.
Who did they play, Missouri State?
Yeah.
Yeah, Missouri State's not good either with a backup quarterback.
Backup quarterback.
In Macomb, that's like playing at a high school stadium. That's weird. You know, like, I thought that was going to screw with them, and they might keep it within 24.
Well, you thought too hard.
Yeah, I did. I hurt myself. I should not think as much.
It's a good thing you don't put money on them bets, right, Brennan?
God bless America.
Then we had Indiana State getting whooped by Illinois State. For some reason, Brendan and I both trusted Indiana State in that one.
I just wasn't amazed by Illinois State when we played them. I got to start. Yeah, you just go.
And Indiana State, like, showed a pulse against you and I, and so you thought, you know, maybe they can stay within 21 against Illinois State. Nope, not even close. And then we've got Stone's Fighting Sock Lukies. Southern Illinois went to Murray State and beat them 27-6. Didn't cover. So thanks for that. We had faith in SIU.
Yeah, guess we picked, Stone. We're gonna blame you by default.
That's fine. 27's weak against Murray State, considering they scored in the very first play from scrimmage and still didn't cover a spread. I don't know how many teams are able to pull that off. No, they should have covered.
You talk about checking a box score. Obviously the previous week they had a little trouble running the ball. I saw they ran it 50 times in this game. Like, you think he was trying to prove a point a little bit?
No doubt. And that's why he didn't cover the spread, because
probably
28 minutes of the game were just with the ball on the ground. And Murray State's not a good team. So it was a bunch of three and outs. Parlay that with just keeping the ball on the ground like 10 times in a row.
Was,
yeah.
Was he exactly just on the sideline like, do it again. Do it again. Like, yeah. Do it until we get it right.
It's just either an SOS call or a mulligan call. Every team has them. Like, if you like what you saw and if you're up in the booth, and for SIU, it's co-offensive coordinator Blake Rowland. If you like the look, you get up front, mulligan. SOS. Same old bleep, man. Just keep running. This team stinks.
Yep. Well, at least, I mean, they showed they can run the ball against Murray State. We'll see how they can run against SDSU. We'll cover that in a little bit here.
You mean, they're pretty similar.
Yeah, yeah. The defenses are basically the same.
It's basically the same. Okay. Still blocking the guy. It's just a guy.
The two big games in the Valley, Youngstown State went to USD. USD proved it, man. They won 34-31. I wasn't able to watch that one. Were any of you guys able to catch that one at all?
We just got score updates from Tommy in the stands. That was about
Hobo Day is the worst weekend for me to try to catch games because I'm staying in town. I'm not in the state to even turn a TV on at that point. So we just I didn't get a chance to watch it. I watched the one I'm sure we're going to talk about shortly here.
Stone, do you have any insights for us on that one?
I didn't catch it live, but I did go back and watch some of it on demand. Aiden Bauman's a dude. He is an FBS quarterback playing in the FCS. His mechanics, him going through his progressions, he's cool to watch play football right now because they don't have any skill players or anything. Like, we gassed this kid Carter Bell up. I don't know who Carter Bell is. He looks like me wearing number 14. But where the ball gets played – yeah, I mean, sure, he's quick. Where the ball gets placed and the timing with Bauman, he'll take them as far as they're willing to go. And if he throws a pick in the fourth quarter in the playoffs, they'll lose the game. But I like what Bauman's doing. That's the only takeaway I had from watching the game. Like, I was just and shame on me for just watching the quarterback, but everything goes through him. And I think a defense plays off of Bauman. He was just hitting receivers. Ball placement was like a takeaway. I'm like, okay, he's just putting stuff right there. It's very reminded me of what was your guys' quarterback? Maybe 2018, 2019, big kid number three. Aaron Christian. Yeah. The way – the same stature, same build, and that kid was so accurate and had some guys to throw the ball to. He reminds me of him a lot. But that was – Youngstown's not fun to watch on offense.
You mentioned Bauman's mechanics. Does he have a weird throwing motion? Is it, like, long or, like, outside of his body, or what is it?
It's combined being 6'5 with being a lefty, and it's going to look weird. Like, it's just not something you see. A guy at the grocery store – picking up a bag of potatoes with his left hand, like, who's 6'5", looks weird. It just doesn't look normal. Bauman doesn't look normal. So when he lets that thing go, it's like almost 7 feet up in the air. So it's going to look a little odd. But yeah, he's got a lot of power behind it. He doesn't really have to come from over the top. He gets the same amount of power from over here. So it's fine.
Yeah, he's got an absolute cannon, that's for sure. Uh-huh. Which is no different than his dad, if you ever watched him.
Yes.
Huge win for USD. I mean, puts him in the spot for a top eight seed. I mean, a top eight seed is theirs to lose at this point. If they don't screw up, I mean, they can obviously lose to us, still have a top eight seed. We'll see if they can keep the momentum going there.
Missouri helps too, losing to a Missouri team who is sick, like who day after day week after week is like contending with legitimate FBS schools. Having that loss on there and it only being like a 3-possession game is going to help them a lot come playoffs. Missouri's really good.
For sure. Then we had a big upset. NDSU went to UND and UND slayed the Dragon. Good for them. They rushed the field after. They won 49-24. That was an old-fashioned ass whooping that you just don't see out of NDSU.
Yeah.
And if you go check out Matt's Frazee's rant on FCS Fans Nation about, in his opinion, NDSU's dynasty is dead. I don't know if I'll call that yet, but there's NC's seat has to be getting pretty hot at this point because that fan base is not going to tolerate this for long.
Yeah. And if you ask, I got a little tirade here. And if you ask UND fans, it's completely because they lost to UND. It has nothing to do with the fact that they lost to USD as well, both teams they consider beneath them up until this point. And they're going to be fourth in the Dakotas and might end up with 3, maybe 4 losses this year. It's just the UND.
And they haven't been able to beat SDSU for like 5 years. But
yeah, five games straight, but you know, it's just UND. And at that point, with that sort of beating, is that even an upset with what we know now about NDSU? I don't even know if that's an upset.
I don't know.
You watch that game in the first, if you're in their barn like that, and we talked about this, when you play at those other universities in the state in those domes, if they house the kickoff right away, you, because we've had way better teams than USD and lost in those stupid little shitholes that they call stadiums. And if they come out and house a kickoff immediately, if you aren't shitting yourself going, this is going to be a bad game, then you haven't been paying attention to games there. And when that happened, even knowing the score, I went, oh shit, yeah, this is going to go bad for him. You know, that was just, it was really fun. I enjoyed it. I feel gross for being happy with one of the U's winning a game. But yeah, that was good. The stands were pretty excited as we got score updates on those.
When we talked about the Montana-Idaho game, there was something I want to slip in there, but now talking about this game, there's something that kind of goes together. The first few explosive plays of a game, I don't think people realize the magnitude and kind of what they do to a 20-year-old's mindset. For Idaho and Montana, for Bergen to go up top on their first offensive drive or second offensive drive of the game after getting a three and out, like if you're Javonte McCoy on the other sideline, you get this rush of anxiety and you got to tell yourself it's now or never. And it's really not now or never. A guy in the NFL is not thinking that it's now or never. But for a 20-year-old, I use the analogy earlier, you have piss running down your leg. You feel as if the world's going to end if I don't score on this drive right here. And when you're North Dakota State and you already have these things and these thoughts running through your head and you watch Kid House one, immediately, you are, I have to go do this now. Like, I have to go do this now. And that's not, as a coach, what you want a group of 20-year-olds thinking. So when stuff like that goes down, it's hard to regroup.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I mean, obviously that had a big part in this game, but I think the overarching question is like, is NDSU going to bounce back, or like, how do they respond? Right. I mean, you kind of thought, okay, they lost to USD, but they'll handle business. You know, they might lose to SDSU, but they'll still be a top 8 seed. Now they're in danger of not even being a top 8 seed. And so it's going to be real interesting to see how this NDSU team responds, and what Entz does essentially maybe to try to save his job. I don't know if he gets fired after 1 year of this, but again, NDSU fans are probably not going to be too patient.
I think Twitter. Oh, go ahead, Brandon.
I would say, I don't know if even NDSU can afford to buy him out, because every year he makes the national title, he automatically gets an extension.
Oh, really? I don't know.
Part of his contract. Yeah, so like he's been a national title every year except for once. So
that's true.
That's a lot of years, Tony, to pay off, man. Like, and then if you're NDSU and has got as big of a heart on as you have for FBS, like, there's your $5 million to go to an FBS conference. Do you want to spend it buying out Entz? I don't know. I think if he doesn't make the playoffs somehow, which I don't see happening. That would just be,
they'll make the play.
That would be officially okay. The dynasty's dead. For all these people that are going, the dynasty's dead. NDSU is the monster in a horror film. You don't walk away until you have nuked it and there's nothing left. You don't just walk away because, oh, I stabbed it that one time. Sick, it's dead. No, it's not. You have to cut the head off, do a ritual, and then burn it, and then maybe it's dead. Like, I'm not calling that until I'm damn sure. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's getting fired. I'm sure it's toasty. I'm sure he's getting a lot of phone calls this week. I saw this. You know, I know my favorite part of this weekend.
Brendan, you had to have been loving it.
To go into the dregs of society that are college football fan forums and check on Bisonville and see. There was a thread titled, "Forfeit the SDSU game, save us the embarrassment." He's so happy. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I enjoyed it a little bit because we've been on the flip side of that before. So
are you taking Western Illinois plus 35 plus 42.5 next week?
It could be plus 137, and I'm taking NDSU. Because now not only are they butthurt, not only are they butthurt, they're at home. And Entz is coaching to save his job. And Tyler Roll, they hate him.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. Yeah, they've hated him for a while.
Like, before he was offensive coordinator, they wanted a statue of that man in their parking lot. And now he might need to fireproof his house a little extra because they might burn it down.
Which is – that is mad. No, it's not.
That's the life of an O coordinator. That's what it is.
It is maddening. And the last thing I want to do is sit here and bash a kid. I've played nice with North Dakota State. Oops, or I think the most recent, you know, past months, maybe the last year. Because I'm 25. I was playing football 2 years ago. Like, it's hard for me to just trash kids. It times makes me feel uncomfortable. You can't do anything with Cam Miller. I don't have any pity for I don't have any pity for Roll trying to game plan with this kid. Like, again, I love using the analogy where fans and media, we're not at practice. Like, Cam, what he's putting on practice, I'm sure handcuffs Roll going into game day. Like, there's not much you can put together for the kid. The most disgusting stat line from this game is Cam throwing the ball 16 times with 11 completions. And then Tommy Schuster on the other side, 9 completions for 12 yards. Like, that's a first half for Justin Herbert, is 25 attempts. What are we doing out here? I can't tell any of my FBS buddies or whatever, be like, there's a big one in Grand Forks, guys. You got to tune into this one right here. Popcorn. This thing. These guys are balling. No. There's nobody balling on the field. There's no skill players out there on either of these teams, UND and NDSU. There's nothing you can do with Cam Miller. 3rd and 12. I'm like trying not to watch. I have no idea what Roll has on his play sheet for a 3rd and 12. I don't.
It's a dive play. It's a dive play.
You're going dive
with the quarterback.
You're going screen, and you're throwing a screen here. You can't dial things up with a guy like Cam Miller. And I hate to say that about a kid. But Roll, people going after, come on. It has nothing to do with that. This dude's a pro.
Jesse Royston does make a good point here, because we were hearing from NDSU fans how great Cam Miller was looking compared to last year. And that went away quickly. That didn't take long, huh?
Yeah, it's almost like the level of competition matters.
Almost.
A little different playing in the Valley compared to some of their out-of-conference games, which at the time we thought, they had pretty good wins, but they don't look as good as they looked before.
What, you mean Eastern Washington losing to Idaho effing State?
Jesus.
Hurt their value? It's like losing to Western Illinois.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. The last game that we had was obviously SDSU beating UNI 41-6 and covering. I'm so mad at myself because when I went back and looked at my pick sheet, I had picked SDSU. For some reason, I got convinced during the show to take UNI.
I'm glad I did that to you. I'm 100% sure.
It backfired on me. I was pretty positive SDSU was going to cover that spread, but I don't know. It scared money. Didn't make money that game or on that pick. Outside of that, that's all of our picks. I went god awful 2-5. Brendan is there with me, 2-5. Even the computer had a bad week at 3-4. Just a rough week all around.
I'm no longer above 500. That sucks.
Yep. You got some work to do now.
Thank you, Leathernecks.
Yeah. Thanks.
Chad, do you have the top 25 pulled up so we can just go over that real quick?
Do not. Sorry.
The picks were brought to you by Culver's Workings in Watertown. Had a lot of people hitting us up on Twitter about Culver's and in Brookings and Watertown. Everybody was curd burgling the hell out of it, so that's great. That's a joke about the curder burger and me just not wanting to say that. And curd burgling sounds funny to me. So people are burgling curds all weekend at Culver's, and you guys told them. So we appreciate the hell out of you guys for letting them know and thanking them for sponsoring. We thank you guys for going out and getting your curd burgers and your Scoopy tokens.
Yep. I still do owe you some Scoopy tokens. I'll have to pay up on that at some point.
Yeah. And a curd burger.
But yeah, thank you to Culver's. Chad pulled up the FCS top 25 here. Obviously, SDSU won, Montana State, Western Carolina, USD all the way up to number 4 now, and Furman at 5. And then for the other our Valley teams and the rest of the poll, we've got UND up to 9, Southern Illinois back up to 11, NDSU at 15, and Youngstown State down at 20th, tied for 20th. SIU really bounced back after their, I mean, people, a lot of people dropped them quite a bit. Brendan, you were one of them. How far did you bounce them back up after their?
Back up, I would have to go check on my poll.
Because you had, I think you bounced them all the way to 19, but I assume you moved them back up a little
bit. Yeah, I moved them back up a little bit. I don't know. I'm sorry. You beat, now I'm having just my brain lock up. Murray State. This last week, like, yeah, they beat him well, but they didn't beat the hell out of him like I would expect. So I didn't give him as much of a boost as I was expecting to for coming out looking like I expect them to be.
A lot of teams ahead of them lost too. And so I think that was a big part of it, of them moving up.
Okay. Just let me get there. Just hold your caddies.
It was close to being a top 10 matchup, but we'll call this a top 11 matchup. SDSU. Yeah. Going to Southern Illinois. Chad, do you have the Valley standings up at all or no?
I do. Just give me a hot second to change that screen.
No worries.
Yeah, I have SIU at 19, which is so upon retrospect, I probably should have them higher. I don't feel good about them being below Incarnate Word, NDSU, or Youngstown State. So that's what happens when I take like 3 hours and then I end up finishing my poll at 1:30 in the morning and putting it in.
Yeah,
that's my bad. So Tony looks unimpressed with that song.
I hate you.
Hey, where did you have them this week, Stone?
In the top 10. They're a top 10 football team.
There you go.
And you can't lose. Let the man say his piece.
There's an argument for him. This has nothing to do with being a homer. Northern Iowa's 3-4. Or my bad, Northern Illinois is 3-4. That's an FBS team that you held to under 2 touchdowns. Like, they've went and won 3 games in a row. If you're Northern Illinois, there's something there. Youngstown State is like proven themselves with results. You drop 40 plus on you and I know you don't get the dub, and then you go, you know, almost come back and win the game against the USD team. Like, the results, Austin Peay's now ranked, you know, depending on where you're looking. SEMO was a good football team by the time they played them, they were top 15 team. They came back and beat SEMO. So from a results perspective, Sam Herder, when he does the Massey strength of schedules, he put his top 10 out today. I said, where's SIU? He said 15. So there's 2 schools in the top 15 that have a harder strength of schedule than Southern Illinois. So there are arguments that they should be inside the top 10. And especially when you have schools like Harvard and Holy Cross sitting there, like, there's no way I would kill Kevin if he ended up putting Harvard or Holy Cross. Southern Illinois is favored in both those games, so I'm not budging for that. I don't care Harvard, the Crimson Tide, or what the Crimson. I have no idea. There's no way I'm putting them ahead of Southern Illinois. I can't do it.
That's a solid argument. I can dig that. I will say the Harvard quarterback, man. The game I watched him, that dude,
he's a stud.
Dude can play. Like, he's no joke.
He's great.
Like, dude, yeah, great. Dude would give me. I texted the group and I said, I'm glad we don't have to worry about that guy in the playoffs.
I was just gonna say, it'll be fun to see him in the playoffs.
Oh no, it's not sad.
So Chad brought up the Valley standings here. We've got it just looks weird with SDSU and just South Dakota sitting up at top. I didn't think we'd ever see this, honestly. And then it also looks weird having NDSU at 1-2 in the conference. It's just kind of stunning, honestly. But Southern Illinois right up there, along with Illinois State and UND and UNI, all at 2-1 in the conference. And you got NDSU, Youngstown State, Missouri State, Murray State at 1-2, and then you got Western Illinois just bringing up the rear, 0-3. Outside of that, I think all we need to do now is discuss this top 11 matchup. Number 1 SDSU going up against number 11 Southern Illinois. Stone, I think the floor is yours. What are your takes on this game?
The first thing that stands out to me is that this is going to get fun. I don't even think it's an argument that you guys have this skill that Southern Illinois does. I thought about it like this. If I'm looking, or if we are looking at the two deep and they're sitting right next to each other, offensively and defensively skill wise. Now I'm not talking about an offensive line and defensive line. If you take South Dakota State's secondary and Southern Illinois' weapons, you're going down the line and you're probably checking more on Southern Illinois' side than you are South Dakota State's side. And vice versa. I mean, we can sit here and talk about the Yankee, and we can do this and we will do this, but the two dudes on the outside, and I'm on the call this week in ESPN Plus, I've learned these kids really well, DJ and the two corners that Southern Illinois has. I'm taking them, and if I'm an NFL scout, they're getting the check mark by them. I think it's lopsided in the skill position department here. I think, and that's something that Southern Illinois is going to try to exploit. Like, you can't play, as much as we love our running backs and what we do, and we harp on, you know, being a team that runs the ball and being in the valley and whatnot. No, Baker's going to be there. I don't know how many times you see an empty formation, but it's chuck it and duck it around the yard. He's going to have 40 plus attempts. That's the only way you're getting by these guys. If you're getting the ball and the guys like Isaiah Hartrupps, who's five, a little slot kid, and these guys' hands pretty quickly, I mean, that's the way they're going to compete in this ball game. I do not think that you guys have the edge in the skill player department. I really don't. That's where I go with first. That's where my mind goes first.
I mean, the Yankee, like both Yankees are NFL prospects. Is that wrong?
No, it's not wrong. They're going to get their camp invites, and what they make with it is what they make of it. But there are kids, both of those kids playing corner for Southern Illinois are from FBS schools, Iowa, and I believe one of them is from Pitt, and then PJ Jules is a borderline draft pick. So if we want to talk about the Yankees being NFL kids, I mean, they're not kids coming from Iowa, right? Iowa didn't go ahead and recruit these kids and bring them into their facilities. Like, for Southern Illinois, these kids were playing for the Hawkeyes or playing at a Division I level, like at that FBS level. On paper is all I'm talking about. Like, on paper, like, their confidence is there. This is how these kids think. Like, go listen to a Tyreek Hill interview, and this dude sounds like he's got the IQ level of 12. But, like, that's what works. When Tyreek Hill's like, I'm better than this dude. Like, I'm Ja'Marr Chase, I'm always open. Like, that's what you're going to get from SIU this week. And, like, I don't care who these kids are. Like, I'm better than this kid.
So, to be fair, just to counter your argument of the FBS thing, Dallas Goedert, Tucker Kraft, Zach Zenner, Isaiah Davis, none of those dudes were recruited either by a big school. But beyond that, the stat I saw Midco throw up, which I'll find interesting to see it tested, because Southern Illinois, when I think of Southern Illinois, I do think of chuck it and duck it high flying offenses. The best success that Southern Illinois has had against SDSU historically has been when you guys have scored a lot of points. But what I found interesting rewatching our game, because you don't get the TV broadcast in the stands, obviously, SDSU, they had a stat on there, led the FCS in interceptions in the last 2 years. So as an SDSU side of things, I would kind of welcome them to chuck it like that. And I'm curious, what do you mean by chuck it and duck it? Because SDSU did a thing against Northern Iowa a little bit where you could see they were letting them earn your way down the field. You can make that short pass, but you're gonna have to do it 15 times a little bit.
And explosive
they
plays.
Tend to do that. Are you seeing Southern Illinois trying to make some deep plays, or are they going to try to get it in the athlete's hand to let him make a play?
I do want to push back on whoever's calling me a homer. I'm dead serious. Wow,
there's more than one person. That's just so
Kevin, I know there is.
Kevin P. Marshall.
I mean, not even
Dustin.
Not even,
the Rev's one of them. The Rev's one of them.
And I see Seth as well.
We take names for you.
Nothing to do with being a homer. It is legitimate, like, on paper, if I'm an NFL scout, I swear to God, my eyes go to PJ Jules before they go to Jackson Yankee. Like, that's what it is. That's not even like an opinion. Like, that's where your eyes go. Like, these are the kids. PJ Jules has a better chance of playing in the NFL than one. Like, that's what these kids are thinking. But I'm really not coming from a homer perspective. But what I mean by chuck it and duck it is explosive plays. Explosive plays, 10 to 15 yard pass play, 10 to 12 yard run play. That's what coaches consider an explosive play. That's what SIU is going to try to do. I haven't had a conversation with any of them. I sit down on a Zoom call with Nick Hill on Thursday, but explosive plays is the only way you win this game. This could turn into a rout by you guys if they don't, you know, convert and execute on explosive plays.
So I assume you made that same comparison before you played Youngstown State.
As far as what?
As far as NFL prospects on the back end.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, like skill players, like – I mean, like, you guys probably had more skilled players in Youngstown State.
I didn't give I don't give a shit about Youngstown State. I haven't watched Youngstown State play football. I watched a rewind of the South Dakota game because I wanted to watch Aiden Bauman play football.
Careful not paying attention to history. It'll bite you in the ass.
We have never given a guest more shit than you because we know you can take it. So I just want you to be aware.
I mean, and trust me, I would want nothing else. Dude, and I got on the show right after and said they got – their ass is whooped. 6 yards rushing, 94 yards passing. This is embarrassing. But it's Youngstown State. Like, no one's watching Youngstown State play football. I don't care. It's not even being a homer.
Legit question, though. Do you think that Southern Illinois' offensive line will be able to hold up long enough to give Nick Baker enough time? No. That's I think, is like, you have some skill players, but are you going to be able to get them the ball? And I think they've shown, like, SEIU's O-line's got problems.
Huge problems. There's a reason I started with the skill players.
Talk about the good things first.
Start with the good things first. And it had nothing to do with being a homer. That's where SIU's edge actually is. It's in the skill position. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot of quick game from Southern Illinois. You talk about not having enough time. A lot of quick game stuff. I think if you're going to empty it out a little bit, or you bring in any 12 personnel, where you got two tight ends in the game, and balls are going to be getting out quick. The offensive line's garbage. The defensive line's fine. You're going to see a lot of hockey line changing. They can't hold up against South Dakota State for four quarters. That's why you quick game, explosive plays. Get within field goal range and steal three. You're not driving down the field on South Dakota State. I started with the good stuff. The other stuff's horrible.
Yeah, fair, I get what you're saying there. You get your explosive plays, get a quick lead, get some momentum, see what happens for you.
That's it.
Makes a lot of sense.
That is legitimately all there is here. I only started with the skill position because I think on paper that's where the only bit of edge is for Southern Illinois. Other than that, every single box gets checked for South Dakota State.
Yeah,
I'm going to get on the show, and I don't even know if I'm picking to – I'm on the call this weekend. I'll probably opt out of picking the game on our podcast because it just looks weird. If I'm picking a winner here at South Dakota State, now that's legit what I'm not going to sit here and pick Southern Illinois. It's a waste of my time.
Yeah, I think, like you said, you got to have those explosive plays, and you have to hit on them. Like, there's going to be such a time of possession discrepancy. Like, because I think SDSU is going to be able to run the ball, and we're going to hold the ball for at least 35 minutes. And so SIU has to make the most of their possessions. If they have too many possessions where they just, you know, it's a three and out or whatever. I mean, Nick Baker's going to have to play the game of his life to have a chance in this game.
I don't know if I'd go that far. There is a real possibility this is a trap game for SDSU. It really is. Which is absurd to say when Southern Illinois is a highly ranked team. Like, they're not low. They're not like ranked 24. Like, they're high teens. You should not be looking by them, but you've got your in-state rival next week. They're a top 10 team for the first time. There's a lot of noise going around South Dakota right now about maybe game day, whatever lunacy's going on there. So there's a lot of noise in South Dakota. Now we talked about Jimmy, and he's great at having them locked in. But the potential is there that this is a trap game. And if SDSU does not come out hot, you can find yourself in a hurry real quick. Because I don't remember who it was brought it up. Nick Baker gave us all sorts of problems before. And I don't think he needs the game of his life to give us problems again. I really don't.
not to give us problems, but for them to win the game.
I don't think he needs the game of his life either.
But what we're not talking about is how much improved the defensive line is at SIU compared to what they've been in the past. They have a really decent defensive line, and that could be a difference maker. Don't you think, Stone?
I do. There's some FBS quality kids on the defensive line. It's tough, right? That's not like they're any bit better than the South Dakota State offensive line. It's going to take getting Mark in some weird down and distance situations pretty early on in this game. I mean, show them a 3rd and 16, make them punt the ball in the first drive of the game. You're not lasting four quarters with this squad, so you got to just snake bite them pretty early on. It's really the only chance you got. And I trust that Southern Illinois knows that, like this, that they know that stuff. You're going to see a gadget play in the first quarter, some Tommy Schuster, UND BS, some wimpy stuff, but it works because there's kids on Southern Illinois' roster who, if they do have the ball in their hands, there's nobody back there who's touching them. Like that's just what, like that's how he recruits. It's what he cares about more. He doesn't necessarily care about an offensive line or defensive line, but the defensive line's fine. You just got to get on Mark early. If you don't, it's a first drive is 11 plays, 80 yards, and it's 7 for South Dakota State. And then you got to go to the sideline and think about that one.
What do you think the spread's going to be on this game?
It's a great question. I've been thinking about it all day, actually. I'll give you South Dakota State 6.5. I think that's what it gets pumped out at. I mean, just go off of like previous spreads, not from this matchup. But with Youngstown State, it was 5.5, and then you see Youngstown State and USD as a pick'em. South Dakota State, you really have no basis to go from. They haven't played a team other than Montana State, which we know what that line was, that like they're going to give us an idea. I don't know. 6.5 touchdown. What about you guys?
I think it's got to be more than 12. That.
I think it's in the 12 gonna, range.
They I tend to mirror like Massey and stuff a lot with some of these lines. And like, dude, if they're using Sagarin, like Sagarin's got SCSU at like 34. All of Division I football. Like they've got them over almost every team in the Mountain West. So like that spread will be absurd. I wouldn't be surprised if they peg the line somewhere nuts. And to be honest, I would expect it to be I'm probably gonna end up, I don't know. I'm too nervous of a fan to eat a lot of points in these games. So I'll probably take the points with the Salukis, but I think that it'll be around 14 to 18 points.
That's what I was going to say about 14.5. Sagarin is 16. Outside of, so Montana State, we were favored by 7.5. Outside of that, we haven't been favored by anything less than 17.5 this year. So I'd be real surprised if it was anything less than 14, honestly.
What point do you lay money down, Stone? What listen, line would you be willing to put money on the table?
Not that a guy announcing the game would lay money on this.
No, I'm just saying.
I want Stone doing this game because he does a good job calling games, want Boom the Dynamite taking his place last second.
Yes, that.
This is a hypothetical.
Seth just said 10.5. I hope to see 10.5. I pray to see a touchdown. I do think 10.5 is viable, though. I can buy that. They spit 15.5 out in the spring of 2021, and I told 10 of my buddies, buy a flight on whatever your mom and dad's credit card and take 15.5, and we'll go to the casino. We'll do whatever the hell we want after the game because 15.5 is absolute bullshit. And they all paid for a free flight and gave mommy and dad their money back. It was free money. It was 15.5. Hopefully it's 15.5 again. I remember that vividly, sending that to the boys and like, listen, book your flight right now. You're coming to this random state up north for free because the 15.5 is absurd. And we all cash, and I lost the game, but still had a little smirk on my face because we had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Good thing you're in Illinois and not Iowa. They'd be giving you a phone call right now.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And I am wearing my sports gambling podcast. Shout out to the boys. I got on before the Weber State game and I made them take the cut out of the recording we did, because I said, I think we're like 4.5 point dogs. And I got a message from somebody in the facility. He's like, what the hell are you doing, dude? And they had to take that out, cash that, book that, 4.5. I'm obviously not playing that, but the squad was. I'm aware of these lines. You guys are scaring the life into me, though, with 14 and 18. I really don't think it's 14 or 18 at this point in the season. at this point in the season. It's too late. The books regretted 7.5 with Montana State. And I know it's all math-based, but 7.5 against Montana State, that was a mistake in itself. I think it'll creep down. There hasn't been anybody to budge any line for them recently.
Zach from Blue Blood say this is the one line he's seen is SDSU by minus 13.5, which to me makes sense.
Yeah. It does make sense.
That's why I was surprised.
I said 6.5. I guess that's silly. 13.5 looks right. I'm willing to say 10.5. 14-18 is nuts.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I'm curious how this game goes. If this game's close, like I think it is, you know, like a 10 or less, like a 10-point game where SDSU scores a touchdown late to put it away, whatever. Then I feel like I'm right. But if this is a big win for SDSU again, I think I'm going to have to reevaluate how I evaluate teams that have played SDSU. Because right now I'm holding like UND back in my poll a little bit because they got absolutely shit kicked down here. And that was not close the whole time. Illinois State, same thing. You know, and it gets to a point of we might have to evaluate a little differently. So I'm curious how this game goes from that aspect as well. Obviously, beyond just the nervousness of like you need to win this game because we can't lose home field advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I think it either reinforces how big the gap is between the top two and the rest, or it shows that Southern Illinois is legit and is a top 10, top six, whatever team. Those will be the two possible outcomes of this. Yes. Dustin Helton says in Carbondale, weird stuff happens there. It does.
Salukis turn into Sock Lukis.
Yeah.
And the Sock Luki fears no man. That is like my rallying cry. I actually like Southern Illinois. I always have, probably from before you got there. I don't know why I like them, but of all the teams in the conference, I probably like them more than most I think of them.
Nick Hill makes them pretty likable.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah,
they have a, you know, you got a similar stadium, similar vibe around the program a little bit.
Stadium is not similar.
It looks like it from pictures.
Ours is literally modeled after your stadium, so I don't know
how I've had NDSU fans be like, oh, you're just like a little bit better version of Southern Illinois. But then again, it's NDSU fans. Their three brain cells were probably off that day.
Justin, your guys' AD walked me around the facility a month ago. No.
It's the stadium itself, not
every mural of every private donor who's forked over $18 million, and you guys generate $1 million just based off of football revenue. Southern Illinois, we're still holding buckets out on the street here, right here, right here. There's no, they don't look the same at all.
Just look at the visiting side. That is the side that should be essentially the same. I mean, we got brick. You guys don't have the brick work, right? I mean, that's the only real difference. But how much can you do with bleachers?
I just have this image of poor Stone at some gala auction getting auctioned for a date with some old heiress. Just
yeah, whoever said weird stuff happens in Carmody. Yeah, there's nothing like filling the stands with 18,000 old white folk. I mean, it woo. Yeah.
Speaking of filling the stands,
do they all sit on their hands?
Is it going to be any like a sellout or close to a sellout?
Oh yeah. Oh, I don't know. I've had some conversations with the ops guys. This will definitely be the biggest one of the year. I think they're pretty darn close to a sellout. And nice. With you know walking up cool. to window, it'll end up converting itself into a sellout. South Dakota State's been a team that you know is posted all over the locker, and this is a big one. Obviously, it's homecoming. They do homecoming right, so it'll definitely be a sellout. And they know how big this game is. They definitely do.
I did not know it was SIU's homecoming. That's a fun fact.
I asked Nick Hill when I was up there a month ago, whose decision was that?
Right. Hey, we feel like that with you and I, trust me.
In what meeting were they like, yeah, this is a great week, guys. What do you guys think? Let's invite the defending champions here at homecoming. This would be a riot.
So, Stone, I'm curious on your opinion of this and Valley scheduling. This is a quirk of the schedule. Every team that SDSU has played in Valley play has either had a bye or will have played Western Illinois or Indiana State or Murray State. One of those three.
Say it again.
So every team, like Southern Illinois playing this week, you guys played Murray last week. Every team
will have either had a bye or basically played against the bye leading into the SDSU game this year, except for Missouri State at the end of the year.
Is it a coincidence or no?
Right. That's the it's weird. It's just a weird function of the schedule that it's like, God, for that to happen, like, is that an accident? Plus, SDSU doesn't get to play any of those three teams.
It's maybe something I'll bring up. I'll bring up on the broadcast, and I'll shout you out for anybody who cares. That's just like a brain twister. Or I don't know. I have no idea.
Every team gets to play one of the three worst teams in the conference by far. Like, that's not close.
And then what are all the rest of our games ranked? Like, they're ranked for the rest of the year, basically. So
yeah,
we do have a very difficult
25.
I'm excited for on the Salukis to take on NDSU down there. That's gonna be because they get them at home.
Yeah,
on the road. That'll be pretty sick. That's gonna be fun. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm cheering for in that one.
Yeah,
they can, and that's a spot where they can kind of play their game. Like, you guys are gonna walk into Carbondale, and your game plan is not gonna have changed for Southern Illinois. It's gonna be the same that it was, you know, week one, week two, and week three. Like, it's literally let's play our ball, and try to get the hell out of here. Like, it's Southern Illinois' job to make the Jacks uncomfortable. That's the only play here. South Dakota State's walking in with the regular game plan, keep the ball on the ground, hit a few guys over the top, and run up the score. Like, there's just another day in the office for you guys. I will, again, I'm still irked for the Homer stuff. I'm on the call this week. I'm not like Kevin with the Citadel, or I mean, you guys are like, obviously like jacked up. I'm not like that for Southern Illinois. Like, I'm a huge fan of Hill. Dude's 30 years old. You talk about why we can like him and stuff. I like what he does offensively. Very pro style, very NFL like offense. Like, I love what they do, but I'm not rah, rah, rah for the home team. But the whole first argument was that we have 8 Omar Johnsons and you guys have 1. Like, that's like my argument. Like, that's it. That's where I'm at with it on paper. Mm-hmm. Like, Omar is a Saluki more so than he is a Jack. Like, that's mm-hmm. like how I see it.
Speaking of Omar, one of the last things before we let you go here, Roe Elliott, is he, where is he? Is he coming back, or do we?
I think you sit him against Murray State. He was in the lineup. He was probably going to play. I know he was
he suited up for that game?
He didn't. It was one of those things where, like, if we need you, we got you kind of thing. And all these kids want to play, right? I'm good, coach. You see Travis Hunter and stuff. It's always, I can play. No big deal. I think you do see him. I 100% think you do see him.
Yeah.
So I should take down my scheduled tweets that I put in at Stone Labanowitz about being a homer for the football game this weekend.
please don't.
We already texted our intern to clip the videos of you being a homer.
I do worry about it sometimes. I'm up there. My job is to be a professional, and I got to talk about some Missouri State defensive lineman, some Missouri State Mike Backer. It's like, what's great play there from Burt Reynolds? I love this kid. Been watching him all season long. I think he means a lot to this football team. And I'm just in my head, I'm like, all right, you just bought another 3 Southern Illinois lines, so they didn't call you a homer. So I do think about it. So if I do see a tweet, you will probably fuck with my head. So do not do that.
and I loved him on Magnum PI. No. All right. No. In all seriousness, I having listened to you do it before, you do a great job. I don't sit there and go, this guy's a homer, at all. So you do a great job. And actually, I always am attuned to that because I really am bothered by homer announcers during the game. Like Paul Allen, I can't stand the guy. I don't know if it's just because I grew up listening to like Bob Uecker and stuff, who just wasn't like that. But yeah, that dude, listening to some of these dudes, it's like, God. So you do a great job. Don't be stressing, because I guarantee you, now that you've said it, the Rev is going to throw one out there just to mess with you. Because if I know Dustin, it's that his favorite thing in the world is to mess with people. So
any
just
requests?
Shut Twitter off.
Any requests for the broadcast? Any one-liners? Any shout-outs to certain peeps, Jacks out there? Anything that I need? Anything that you guys can pay me for? Like 25 bucks a pop? Anything I can say on this broadcast?
Are you old enough to remember the clip of Greg Jennings putting the team on his back with a broken leg?
Oh yeah.
All the other ones are. No, don't do any of them. None of the ones I can think of. They wouldn't be
good. No,
you're great as you are, Stone. Just be who you are and you'll be great.
I love you guys. I love every it's so cool to watch the South Dakota team play right now. It's there's so many cool players on the team. I envy the fact that these kids have been together for so long at this point, and to watch a group of seniors run it back, it's dope. You don't see it very often, especially in the day and age now where kids think they can go get paid fake money on the other side. And they just turned all that down and they said, no, we'll take free Applebee's instead. And I respect the hell out of it. I love watching these guys play football. And I think it's going to be an actually good matchup. I'm freaking out that you guys are saying 14 or 18. If that's a spread when I wake up on Saturday, there'll be a real problem. I hate that. I love it.
So
my name is Lone Stabanowitz.
Kevin saying continue to steal his Southerisms. I suppose he's aggravated enough that his face is redder than the Devil's dangler. But
I mean, coming into this game, South Dakota State's hotter than fish grease.
Everybody got any other ones they remember from listening? He's got some keepers.
I mean, and I'll tell you this. I'll give you a peek behind the curtain here. I record. I'm the one who produces. So you have audition pulled up, and if he doesn't execute his one-liner, he'll restart it. So we don't see each other. When we do it, we like to go through Google Hangouts. The latency, the audio quality is pretty good. So I don't see him. His camera's turned off. But I'm gonna curse here. But he'll be like, you know, Chattanooga coming in this game hotter than fuck. Hold on, Chattanooga coming in this game hotter than fish. God damn it, Chattanooga coming into this game hotter than fish grease. I'll mute my mic and just die laughing. And Kev gets it together. He's on a roll, but he's got to make sure he executes his one-liners. It's patented, man. He's literally a legend.
So how many times in a row did you have to hear redder than the Devil's dangler?
Yeah, probably twice. If he didn't like the inflection, if he didn't thought he brought the juice, he's got to turn up the volume a little bit. And it's hot, hotter than the Devil's dangler. And when he brings it, he gives it a little pause because he liked it, and then he'll keep it rolling. And it's whatever Kev needs to do.
I agree with these guys. You gotta do a blooper reel. Do those get recorded? All those?
Oh my gosh.
There's so many of them. I can totally put them all together.
I can envision him finally hitting it and that pause and him being like, and then he goes back.
It's like when I'm all looking on audition, it's like 2 seconds where he'll Devil's dangler and he'll nail it and he'll like let that one soak in a little bit and he'll go. And I'm hoping he didn't lose connection or whatever. I mean, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on the other 12 that he throws out there, but it's awesome.
That's great.
He comes up with new ones, and I appreciate them.
So do I. That's why I steal them.
Love it.
All right. Well, we called Garage Time a while ago. I want to rather
the Devil's Dangler on the ESPN Plus
broadcast.
That's a $50 one. I don't think that's going to get in there for $25, man.
That is a $50 one. I can totally pull that one off. I'll get something from it. But I'll put something together for Kev. He's a legend. I literally love Kev.
That'd be great. Awesome. Well, thank you, Stone, for your time. We appreciate you being on. We'll get Brendan back in here. I don't know where he went. We really appreciate you. We love all your coverage. I never miss a week of FCS Nation Radio. I recommend everybody go check it out either on your local radio station if you can find it, or it always gets posted on Spotify. Love what you guys do. Keep it up. And thank you.
No, that's much appreciated. It's literally 11 o'clock. Down here in Florida, and I'll
thanks
do this
for being
for
on
long.
And being on for so long. That's what
however
I was
long yes, we want to do this, man. Hanging with us, work the your guys' group and me and Kev. The FCS deserves a lot more coverage than it gets. The analogy I always use, and I'll sign off with this one: if the subdivision was covered like the FBS, if the camera work was there, if these players profiled correctly, like these kids are just as good as the kid on TCU right now. They're just as good as the kid playing, you know, safety for Washington. Like they're all the same. You see FCS kids all over the league right now who are hooping, who weren't even hooping when they were playing. So if this was covered correctly, there'd be no discrepancy. And you just watch Stanford go beat Colorado. So we're doing the Lord's work here. We're it's deserving of the things that we do. So anytime I can get on here and preach the gospel with you guys, I will, no hesitation.
Perfect. All right. Well, with that, again, thank you. And as always, go big, go blue, go Jacks.
Go Jacks.
We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to once again thank our sponsors, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Colby Sports Bar and Grill. And as always, go Jacks.